Chapter 31. Valtor. Valtor trudged to the back corner of his workroom and grabbed hold of the thick piece of material he had placed conveniently over a large rectangular object. He ripped it back. The covering fell to the floor in layers, kicking up a spray of dust that brought with it a short fit of sneezing. Raising his head after the final convulsion, Valtor stared at his reflection. The mirror was old, very old. Its casing was melded in gold filigree, colored with age and engraved with ancient glyphs from which only a handful of scholars could decipher, let alone read. It was one of the lost mirrors of Ma'on, better known as the Traveling Mirrors. They were created nearly 2,000 years ago, at the beginning of the Second Age, when magic was freely used as a way for wizards to travel throughout the realms to keep the peace. Never knowing when a wizard might make an appearance was a great deterrent to revolt. But at the end of the age, after the wizard wars, when the Junri turned on the Vanae, most of the mirrors were destroyed. Valtor had spent years searching for them. In all his efforts, he'd only managed to uncover two. A few of the ancient manuscripts spoke of a stronghold built by the Wizard Council, along with some of their fairy allies, which was said to have been the birthplace for many such magical items. But he could find no definitive reference to its location, only to its original name. Aeroset. The keep was thought to be hidden somewhere within the Angoran Mountains. Valtor had scoured every known library, book merchant, and back-alley dealer for a rare text that gave any mention to its exact whereabouts. But, just as if it had never existed, his search had turned up fruitless. Even the White Tower, with all its vast knowledge, provided little in the way of helpful information. It was obviously being shielded by some form of magic, or perhaps had been destroyed during the final battle of the Wizard Wars. Thankfully, for Valtor's purposes, two mirrors were the minimum number needed to make a crossing. Each mirror had its own unique name. As long as a person knew the names of the mirrors they were traveling from and to, all they had to do was call them out in succession and step through unharmed. Each mirror's name was etched in runes above the glass. The glyphs were written in Fae. Valtor had spent hundreds of hours calling out various possible names, hoping to somehow awaken a third mirror. He considered himself a fair linguist, but even he could see its futility. The name for something as valuable as these mirrors would have been extremely hard to decipher, making it nearly impossible for someone to randomly decode. Valtor placed his ceremonial mitre on top of his head and reached for his wolf head staff. He called out the names of the two mirrors, starting first with the one in front of him. Galerian Sugathru, Nothleen Felorel. He'd always wondered if the names were of actual fairies that had lived back then. The way they sounded as they rolled off the tongue felt proper. The glass sparked to life. His reflection vanished, being replaced by the image of an empty room. A lone torch resting in its holder near a closed door cast shadows across the stone walls and floor. Once the last of the mirror's vibrations had ended, Valtor took a quick glance around his chambers and stepped through. It felt like walking through a puddle of water, and yet remaining dry. It sent a run of bumps up and down both arms. Once on the other side, Valtor watched the image of his chambers in the palace fade, leaving nothing more than his own dark reflection in the glass. He had always feared the possibility of one of them failing while he was halfway through. Shaking off his momentary unease, he headed for the door. He didn't have time to worry about it now. Before stepping into the cold hallway beyond, Valtor held out his hand. An orb of greenish-blue light lifted in front of him, easing his passage as he wound his way downward through the dark upper corridors of the White Tower. It was the ultimate contrast to his life in the Royal Palace. From lavishly decorated chambers, gilded in gold and draped in velvet, to discolored walls of cracked stone, draped in layers of web and dust. He took a deep breath and smiled. He had come home. Upon reaching the central levels, he extinguished the orb, as many of the lower rooms and adjoining hallways were already aglow with bracketed torchlight. Rounding the final corner, he stepped out into the tower's throat. It was a large, open, circular area at the center of the construct, as if it had been burrowed out by a giant orm, one of the enormous sandworms found in the outer regions of the Wingabi Desert. It started from the ground level and ran its way clear to the uppermost chambers. It was quite a dizzying view. A drop from even one of the lowest levels would be fatal. Each level outside the circular opening was gated by a row of massive pillars made from the same dark granite found in the razor's spine. They comprised the main support structure for the next level's foundation. Each of the fluted columns would have taken half a dozen men with arms outstretched to reach around. Moving past the towering stone structures, Valtor crossed the second floor walkway. He could see the Black Watch below as they rotated positions while standing guard over the front entrance. Sparing a glance upwards through the heart of the stronghold, he chuckled at the whole idea of the White Tower. It was a living, breathing hypocrisy unto itself. While having been used as a means to subjugate magic by either its removal or destruction, the tower only existed because of the use of that same magic. It had been created by Erodine and his followers centuries ago in their pursuit of alternative magic, but had then been repurposed by the Junri as a means to stop, or at the least control, the flow of magic throughout Aldor. Valtor left the outer walkway and crossed beneath the adjoining arches on the other side. He was tired and wanted nothing more than to crawl into bed, but he had a meeting with the Legate Superior that he had put off long enough. He followed the corridor to its end. Just ahead was a set of double doors, guarded by two of the tower's guards. The two men moved to allow him passage. He listened as they heaved the doors shut behind him. The sound reverberated off the stone walls before finally fading away, leaving him completely alone with his thoughts. The room contained an enormous vaulted ceiling. Brass chandeliers, tarnished with age, hung from long rusted chains above. The outer walls were lined with thick pilings which lifted from the floor straight to the ceiling. Torn draperies rustled from a slight breeze in front of elongated stained glass windows that stretched across the back wall, while cloth banners, yellowed with mildew, hung sporadically throughout the open room. He had never allowed any of the staff to replace or repair the ancient, age-worn adornments. There was something about surrounding himself with originality, knowing that he was looking at the same things the ancient wizards of years past had looked at each time they had entered the room. It gave him a sense of purpose, a thin link to those he so admired. Moving across the cold stone, Valtor's red robes billowed out behind him like a shade on an evening breeze. He raised his hand toward the large open hearth on the left side of the room. Voyestra! Flames erupted from the previously stacked kindling and logs. In front of the fireplace was the long, white marble table they used for tower meetings. Surrounding the table were 13 straight-backed chairs, made from the same smooth stone. The last time he had been in this room, he had killed one of his Bulradur. Hopefully this time he didn't end up with one less legged. Guards! The doors opened, and the two men stepped inside.
You called, Your Eminence?
Notify the Legate Superior. I would like to see her immediately.
Right away, Your Eminence.
Both guards bowed and left the room, closing the doors behind them. Leaving the warmth of the fire, he stepped into an enclosed staircase, decoratively built into the back wall. The flight of stairs led up to the second-floor rooms, comprised of his private study, washroom, and modestly decorated sleeping chamber. Much like his workroom in Erremor, his study held a large assortment of shelving for all manner of oddities he had managed to accumulate in his search for lost pieces of magic. Long wooden tables lined the back corner, each lit with thick tallow candles that bled the colored wax down the brass casings, fastening them hard to the tables underneath. Open volumes lay scattered across the top of each, like an out-of-sorts covering, struggling to keep the ever-falling dust from its wood. There were copper pots, pewter urns, and cruisers of every size and shape, most only half-filled with ingredients for what would have been an unbearably distasteful stew. Some of the containers held large insects of all varieties, both living and not. Others held pieces of human bodies, some fresh, but most not. A few of the urns held selections of heavily decomposed mire and sludge, which gave the smell of having come from the foulest of bogs, while others were filled with rich, clean topsoil or sand. Valtor opened one of the three glass-enclosed cabinets on the far wall. The shelves were lined with vials holding a wide variety of tinctures, tonics, distillations, and extracts for every possible use. It would have made the most avid of apothecaries weep with envy at having such a rare selection available. Pulling out a crystal decanter, he poured a dark amber liquid into a nearby goblet, after first blowing off the dust and wiping the rim with the hem of his outer robe. He replaced the stopper and put the bottle back inside before shutting the case. Taking a quick sip of the strongly spiced wine, he slid into his favorite chair in front of another dead hearth. Why can no one manage to keep a simple fire stoked around here? Irritated, he raised his hand towards the chilly stone encasement, and flames ignited around the stacked lumber. Much better. He released a long, slow exhale as the warmth of the crackling flames invaded his skin. Gathering his thoughts, Valtor waited for the legate to arrive. He knew he wouldn't have to wait long. He could hear the doors of the main chamber below opening. Tilting back his head, the Chancellor drained the rest of his goblet, leaving the Legate Superior enough time to get in and settled, while allowing Valtor a rare moment's rest for his feet. With a grunt, he lifted himself from the comfort of his cushioned spot in front of the fire and placed the empty glass on the small three-legged stand beside his chair. With repetitious effort, he straightened his robes. This being an official meeting with the Legate Superior, he grabbed the crimson mitre from its place on the shelf over the hearth and adjusted it on the top of his head. He needed to keep up appearances. Even here, amongst his inner circle, he found it imperative to maintain a proper amount of not just decorum, but authority. His father's words were there as a constant reminder. Like a shadow from the past, they haunted him. If you ever want to get anywhere in this life, Milo, you must look the part. His father had been a tailor to a wealthy nobleman. Perception to him was everything. He used to say
Even the poorest waif, picked from a back alley street, if placed in a new suit of clothes, could instantly change his status among the people. No longer would he be the ignored gutter snipe. No longer would he be beaten and spat at, kicked and abused. He would be respected and admired. Men and women would look him in the eyes when he passed. They would offer to open his door, pull his seat, shine his shoes. "It's all about perception, Milo, and the way to achieve the perception you want is through the clothing you wear." Valtor made his way to the enclosed stairwell. He let his fingertips slide down the thick velvet folds of his robe, enjoying the texture as he descended the steps one at a time. With his head high and back fully erect, he emerged once again into the main assembly chamber. His father had gotten at least one thing right. Perception is indeed the first step to power. The Legate Superior, donning the gold-trimmed black robes of her position, bowed from the waist as Valtor strode across the room toward the head seat at the table, the back of his chair facing the open flames. His seat was larger than the rest and a bit more ornate, clearly signifying his rank as Arch-Chancellor. The Legate waited for him to sit before lowering herself into her own chair. "So, what does my Keeper of Information have to report?" The short, round, elderly woman stiffened in her seat. Her hands remained folded in her lap as she proceeded to answer his question.
"The flow of information has been quite steady, Your Grace. The Inquisitors have been rather profitable as of late in recruiting new wielders to our cause and garnering useful confessions. It seems there are indeed a growing number of Vanae throughout not only Alondria, but Keldor, Sidara, Sealmar, and Briston as well."
"That is good news indeed." Valtor leaned forward.
"Confessions, however," she pointed out, "can be tricky to sort through. It's quite amazing how loose the lips become when faced with an Inquisitor's touch. Because of this, however, what is being confessed will many times be misleading, if not outright false. There are those who will confess to anything, whether it be the truth or not, just to escape more time on the rack. If we were to act on all such information, we would be rounding up half the population."
She chuckled lightly. Valtor slammed his fist down on the table, startling the Legate and ripping the smile from her face.
"Then round up half the population! I need wielders in here, if we are ever to have a chance of protecting ourselves and further generations from another open purging."
Her voice stuttered.
"Yes, Your Grace, of course."
The Legate bowed her head, keeping her wide eyes lowered to the table.
"But if we initiate such an aggressive posture, won't the High King start asking questions? He might decide to re-implement the inspection squads."
"The King is about to have more on his plate than worrying about the rantings of a bunch of peasants. Don't you worry about the throne. Leave that to me. You need to deal with the increase of stronger wielders. And while we're on that subject," he said, arching his brows slightly, "how is our newest recruit doing? Has there been any progress in bringing him over to our cause? It's been a long time since we've had a true metallurgist at the Tower."
"The smith is proving to be, well, quite challenging in his willingness to cooperate, Your Eminence."
Valtor watched as her body tensed. She grabbed the folds of her robe and twisted.
"His tolerance for pain has been remarkable, to say the least."
Valtor's smile broadened.
"I'm glad to hear it. He sounds to be a worthy trophy indeed."
He leaned back in his chair and drummed his fingers together.
"The stronger they are, the more useful they become.
Valtor stood from his seat.
Keep me apprised on his progress. I want you to focus all your energy on this man. He's important to me.
Valtor corrected himself.
To all of us. We are going to need his abilities in the very near future.
He turned and headed back to his upper chambers.
Don't fail me, Legate,
he said in warning over his shoulder, as his wolf-head cane echoed off the hard stone.
No, Your Grace, we won't.